bam. Okay, so there we go. So thank you, Chanel Calvin, for coming and agreeing to come on to the Freedom Friends Show. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So talk to me a little bit about how you got started. Tell us a little bit about you, just a little bit of background.
Sure. So the way I got started was I was working for the American Institute of Architects. I used to work for them for about 10 years. And during the recession, we got furloughed. So they sat us down in the boardroom and told us that we would be losing 2 months of revenue with no warning. And so I started consulting because that was the only thing I knew how to do. I had a business background. So I started consulting, and I found working from home and trying to have a small business was isolating, and you didn't connect with people, and there was way too much to learn. And so I started going to all these networking events, trying to find women who were like me with lots of energy and who kept it real and who really just wanted to learn and who weren't putting on a show. And when I got there, I didn't find that. And I found everything.
Wait, you mean tell me ain't no real people at the networking events?
Not usually. You know, you meet either the representative or I met a lot of alpha males, a lot of alpha males who tried to control the conversation, and they didn't really want to get to know you. They were pitching the whole time. And so I started thinking, if I can't find my tribe, I'll create it. And so I started doing a free event called Building Your Business. And I brought some women in that I just found on LinkedIn that were doing really well, and said, do you mind coming in and training women on the weekends? We'll do it really, really short sessions, interactive. I'll make some food. I can get some space. And let's just learn and grow together. And so it was a really beautiful thing that I started doing. I didn't know if it was going to work. You're just trying it. And it was great because everybody could come and be themselves. We did it on Saturdays in the morning, so people didn't have to worry about all their errands, and moms could come, and we just learned and grew together. And as a result of it, people started asking me to come speak, and they started asking me to come on the radio. And so literally this brand started growing from me just wanting to find cool people.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way for it to happen, instead of you trying to force it, just being yourself and looking for people who are like you. And I think people respected that I wasn't trying to pitch them, but I was really just trying to connect with them.
Girl, you didn't say a word. We're going to be beautiful. Look, I need some of that, that dun, 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 that preaching music.
Praise break.
Holy Ghost.
Praise break.
The Holy Ghost music. Yes. Oh, I love that you said that. So that exact method that you've described is what I call friendship-based marketing, where it has absolutely nothing to do with your business or you leading with your business card or you promoting yourself. It's really just about finding your people. And through finding your people, or attempting to find your people, you begin making your name a name for yourself just by virtue of trying to find your people and connect with folk. Which is a lost art. I love that's how you started. That's how you built. I love that.
Yeah, it was great. The energy was great. People respected that, the energy was great and that it was authentic and that they knew I was being myself. And I didn't come in there like, oh my gosh, I'm the best, event organizer ever. And I'm an expert and I'm a guru. You know how people start off, they start off the business 2 days in the business and they're a guru. Like from where, but I was honest with them. I said, I work at this place, I have a small business on the side, this is the stuff that I know, but if I don't know it, I'm not going to teach it to you. And, I'll be learning some things as well. So you won't see me being the only person presenting. The people who are specialists will come in and help so we can all learn. But, I just think people should be a little bit more realistic. And I think people can tell, when you're not being honest too. It comes across in your brand. They're like, oh, that don't sound right,
So. Well, and I think, and this is just my own perspective, is that that's when you don't make any money either. But we normally don't identify that the reason we aren't making any money is because we are not in alignment. We think, oh, I just need to become a better salesperson. It's like, nah, boo, you need to learn more about yourself. Go within.
Exactly. It's like I was telling somebody, I said, you can get the best coaching program. You can get in a $1 million training program. You can get, I don't know how many click funnels, but somewhere people are going to be looking for you in that brand. And if you're not present, then they're like, what is this? I mean, you know, you can have $1 million, you know, systems in place, but it's still going to be your content. And so that's going to be a part of you, and yes, people are going to be able to tell that something's not right. It'll be robotic, or it'll seem inconsistent. And
you know, what's interesting, that's exactly what I have found. I've either found really good coaches or I found really good trainers. I typically don't see them in the same organization. So you either get real deep, you know, you learn how to be, you learn about yourself, you know, you learn how to find yourself, or you learn how to mimic some strategy or technique. But I've never seen both of those things happening in the same organization.
Well, not well.
Yeah, right.
I've seen it happening, but it's not happening well, right?
Yes. No. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think because those two skill sets take very different different concentration. So to me, you know, when you're coaching, you know, you're literally, if you're a good coach, I should say, if you're a good coach, I think when you're coaching, you're invested in that person and you're guiding them along the way and in the process. Whereas training is somebody who's coming as an authority and you're literally kind of instructing the person. And so typically, you know, people who are really good coaches aren't necessarily really skilled for training. You know, they like the guidance of the person. They like being invested with them. They like holding the person accountable. Whereas a trainer comes to present and says, I'm the authority figure. These are the methods that you need to follow. And then after that, they're ready to go. They don't want to hold you accountable. A trainer is somebody who wants to be on the road for the most part on a consistent basis. And trainers also tend to present the exact same content every time. Whereas I think with a coach, you might have a system, but that interaction with the person is going to be different based on what that person brings to the situation. And so you have to be a lot more flexible and open to be able to be a good coach if you're really paying attention.
Well, we're going to have to change that. Number one. Number two. So where do you fall in that continuum?
I would say that I fall more on the coach side. I do not desire to be a guru at any point. I consider myself a guide. I like to walk alongside the woman to listen to where she wants to go and to talk to her about what her gifts are, yeah, and to help her to see some potential that she might not see and to see some things that might be opportunities that she could be missing. But I also come from a level of experience of saying, you know, if you think about doing that, let me tell you what happens if you go that way, because I've been there. You know, let me tell you about if you invest too much money too quickly, or let me tell you if you don't listen to your gut and what happens when you invest when you don't listen to your gut. And so I can not only speak from a business background, but I can speak from a level of saying, listen, I have been there and been the solo entrepreneur and trying to scrape things together, and I can tell you how to do it when it's low budget, and I can tell you how to do it when it's high end. I've been on every part of the spectrum. And so it's easier, I think, for me to be able to say, listen, this is what I can bring to the experience, and I'm going to be realistic with you. I'm not going to tell you or sell you on a dream. I'm going to tell you what's actually relevant to what you can bring to the table and what are some things you can implement right away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now where are you located?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Girl, you right up the street. My girlfriend is, she's interviewing in, not in Richmond, Newport News. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's interviewing in Newport News soon. I think within the week or next week or so. I have to come visit. Okay, so are you still doing this Saturday morning thing?
No. No, I don't do that anymore. I did that back in 2009. What I do now is I do an event. So it's been a while. But I do an event now with some other entrepreneurs. It's called the Idea Party. Okay. And what we do is we get together on Zoom, actually. We get together on Zoom, and we do it about every month to month and a half, because, you know, all of us get busy. And what you do is every person can come on a camera, and you get to present an idea that you're trying to bring to the marketplace. And you don't give all the details, but just what the general idea is. And then you talk about three challenges that you have with the idea. And after you talk about the three challenges, then the folks that are on the call with us, and that you can actually see if somebody has an expertise in that or had some experience, then we can decide to give you some suggestions for it. And so you get this synergy of people who are all coming seeking knowledge and trying to get these ideas to come out. And then what we try to convey to people is that your solution is usually right in the room, but you just won't ask for it.
Yeah.
So it allows people to really see that happening, because people come on and say, well, I don't know how this is going to happen, and these are all the things, and there's no way I'm going to be able to do it. And then as soon as they finish, you see all these people, you know, unmuting their phones and trying to help them, because it's something that they already know. And so, you know, I try to extend that offer to people who are interested, because and it is free. I'm still doing things for free. You know,
That's what you do.
Synergy. Yeah, creating synergy. But you know, I think it's a really great experience, because it allows people to be able to say, you know, this is really what I'm passionate about, and this is what I want to do. But I really don't, again, coming from that authentic place, I don't know how to do this. You know, these are the three things. Not that everything will be something that you don't get, but all of us are going to have something that we need to learn. And so they're being authentic and saying that. And then what ends up happening is, not only do you see people getting some solutions, but sometimes you see some partnerships happening.
Absolutely.
As a result of it. And it's just, you know, we just do it for a couple of hours. We usually do it on a Saturday. You know, people can bring their snacks and eat on camera. You know, it's you know, we're really informal, but it's a really cool experience, because again, everybody's being themselves. Everybody's admitting that they have, you know, some stumbling blocks, and everybody's coming seeking for knowledge. And I think that's the best environment to create for entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. Okay. So how do we find out about these idea parties? Where's the list? Where do I sign up?
Okay. So what we usually do is we post it on Facebook, but I can definitely create a sign up link, because we just usually just post it on Facebook because it's informal, but I can definitely create a sign up page for it. And we usually have about 6 to 8 entrepreneurs. You know, again, we do it about every month to month and a half. So the next one will be in January, but I can definitely create a sign up page if people are interested.
Ma'am. Now, I ain't going to coach you live on the air. but you know, that is definitely a business move. You know that has business potential.
Yes, I do. I do. Okay. And I just actually saw that in the last month or so, to be completely honest, because we were just doing it because we thought it was fun.
Yes, that's what's missing. There is no fun. Like, where are the fun spaces? Like, I'm like, what is, okay, yeah, I'm, yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So we're going to talk off the air, because,
yes, because
we're going to need to do something with that.
Yeah, because I think it's a lot of people who are looking for that, because to me, what ends up happening is people say, you know, I want you on the mastermind, or I want you on this this strategy group, or I want you on whatever they call it. They don't usually call it tribe. They'll say takeover, such and such takeover. That's the new one. And you get there, and then everybody say it's going to be energy, it's going to be bold, it's going to be fierce. And you get there, this monotone. That's not me.
Okay, so listen, I'm booking you right now. Check your calendar. Okay. I'm having a conference in the fall. You're laughing. Okay. I'm serious.
Okay.
And I want to bring that idea party to a live conference. I think I am really curious to see how we can do that in a room full of women. I think we can rock that out.
I think we can too.
The lead facilitator, and there being small group, almost like small incubation things happening, and each group is doing that very act. I think we can freaking rock that out.
Yes, and it's really simple. That's the thing. It's really simple. This is what I want. This is what my idea is.
Girl, where you
the three things. Oh man, you know what? Everybody keeps talking about a book, and you know what? Let me tell you though, before you coach me,
I'm not.
So, okay,
I'm not gonna coach you.
Okay, you know I love you.
Look, you ain't been on my page in a while. My newest program is called Coach Your Damn Self. I'm just gonna ask a question.
No, everybody keeps asking me about a book, and I will say I'm working on it right now, but I do not have a book. What I did do this year, though, I wrote a devotional. So I did write a devotional this year. But the book is something I'm working on. I'm actually in a writing
challenge. You're telling a hungry man, be happy with this half a teaspoon.
You know what? I don't, you know, everybody keeps asking me about that. And I just think, you know, I think we think that our stories are just, you know, again, yes. Everything,
and that's a mess.
Everything I've been attracted to has just always been kind of free flowing, fun.
Girl, that's what is missing in the space. This is what, you know what? Don't even worry about it. We're going to sit down and I'm going to write the damn book. I'm going to just put you on it.
That's how that can work.
I'm going to write the book. I'm going to interview you. We're going to sketch out this process. I'm going to write the damn book. We're going to, and then that's that. Let that be that. And you're going to be touring the world, building these idea parties for people because they ain't going to know how to do it. You're going to train people to have their own idea party. Yeah, but we already got, okay, we got you. Yep. That's okay. What you're going to be known for. That's what you're going to be known for. So let it be heard here first on the Freedom Friends Show that Chanel Calvin is the idea party person. That is her. We're going to get that trademark. That is all you. Do you own that.com yet?
No.
By the time this airs, you will. Uh-huh. Okay. By the time this airs, you will own ideaparty.com. I love it. Well, congratulations. That's an amazing foundation.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, you know, it's all, I think it's all about, you know, just being genuine and creating.
Yep.
I'm really big about creating safe spaces for people to express themselves and to be honest and open, because I think all of us grow from that. And so, yeah. You know, all you need is somebody to really, you know, just literally create the space and allow people to be themselves. And I think magic happens every time, you know, but for some reason, people just don't want to be themselves. And so I think that they literally create stumbling blocks because they don't want to be themselves. And it's really not as difficult.
I think, and we surround ourselves with people who are not themselves as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's some fear there, right? Some fear that if I'm fully myself, people won't accept me or I won't be liked. And then because we aren't fully ourselves, we then attract other people who are not fully themselves. Mm-hmm. And then this whole idea, It like bounces off one another. It's like being surrounded by addicts. If you're dealing with addiction and now all your friends are addicts, but they aren't trying to get, they're not trying to heal their addiction and you are. You got to get around some new people.
You do. And I believe that the connection opportunity that you have is totally different.
Yeah.
When you're open, you're more willing to receive from other people, and so you tend to pick up things a little bit differently than if you are coming and kind of putting on a face. Because to me, like, when you're not being yourself, it's almost like you have like armor up.
Absolutely.
And so as much as people are trying to connect with you, you literally have armor up, and so they can't get close to you, and they can't, you know, they can't even love up on you.
Yep.
So, you know, I think, you know, that's one of the things I would say I even had to learn too, was in terms of, especially when I was back in the workforce, when I first got into the workforce, that was really hard because the environment was so, I mean, they wore a lot of black and, you know, everything was really standard and, you know, everything was about being precise and critiqued and, yeah. You know, architectures like that. And then it got to the point where I remember, you know, you're working a little bit late and then you kind of start to get silly, and they were loving that I was silly. They loved my energy. They loved my goofy laugh. They loved that. And I started slowly, you know, changing, trying to fit in and started really being myself. So I started wearing clothes that was more comfortable with the bright colors. And I stopped wearing the suits. And, you know, I was still professional, but I just wasn't wearing the pinstripe and all of that.
Yeah.
And slowly I started seeing, you know, the more I became myself, the more that they loved me.
Oh,
and so I
am so excited about this idea.
You know,
let me tell you, this idea party is like a party. Like, girl, look, I am so excited about this. Like, I feel like, yeah, the fun you. Bringing the fun out of you. Girl, we got a tagline and the whole nine. Okay.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. From your professional opinion, what can we as Black women do to become more secure? In our, to kind of peel away that layer that we've, that wall that we've built to protect ourselves, either at work, mainly at work. I think if you went to college, most people, you know, whether it's a HBCU or PWI, I don't think it really matters. But that wall, really, that we've built these walls to protect ourselves. So what can we as Black women do to begin peeling those down? Removing those bricks.
Yeah. So first, you know, first I would say, you know, what I'm a big believer in is really looking at what's the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. So what would be the worst case scenario if you did try to be yourself? Mm-hmm. And really think that through, because I think sometimes we create problems to be a lot bigger than what they are. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot about, you know, people won't accept this in the workplace, and they won't take natural hair, and they won't take if you have bright lipstick, and they won't take if you dress like this. I was in one of the most, you know, corporate, you know, environments. Yeah. You know, we had over 2,000 members across the state of Virginia. You know, I've gone to lobby on Capitol Hill. I mean, I've done all that. And I remember when I went to go lobby, Eric Cantor was in office. I have a picture of me with a big old fro. Okay, you know,
and it, I don't and you know where what
they,
we.
They put it on the website.
I was in corporate accounting, and the only job that I could land was in Boise, Idaho. And when I got there, they put me on the national service initiative that they were rolling out to all of the stores. I worked for the headquarters of a grocery store chain. Me with my fro in corporate accounting that everybody told me I wouldn't be able to get a job. And I'm like, I don't know where y'all get this stuff from, but that wasn't my experience. And I don't know anybody who that actually was their experience. I know a lot of people who are afraid that will be, but I don't know anybody who that's been their actual experience. So I'm like, why are we making this stuff up and then telling people?
Exactly. And so all that fear just spreads. You know, you get somebody who starts that fear and they spread it to everyone, and to the point where we're literally adjusting, you know, just because it might happen. And so it's just crazy, because it's like, how much stuff do you do on an average day, you know, to prevent, you know,
what
or
might happen.
Block yourself. Oh yeah, you know, or to block being yourself. Like, it's a whole lot of work to put up, you know, a mask. Like, that's a lot of work, you know.
Yes.
And so, you know, that would be one thing I would suggest. The other thing I would suggest is, if you're trying to become more authentic, I would say, you know, first try it out on somebody that you really know cares for you. So mm-hmm. try it out with them. And, you know, if that be in your work environment, or if that be in your friendship circle or what have you, I would say try it out with a few of them, leak out a little bit more of the truth, and slowly see how people adjust to it. So then you'll start to see that, you know, the big bear that you're scared of really isn't there. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's not as scary. And then the other thing that I would say, you know, what really worked for me is really going back to the root of where some of those fears come from. Like, you really need to go to the root if you're going to fix it. So, like, you know, if you're self-conscious, where did that start? And then you really need to deal with that, because it's not really about the hair. It's about you being self-conscious because of something that happened way back when, right? Yeah. And if you're, you know, if you're afraid that you're going to lose your job, it's really not bent up on the way that you're dressing. That's a fear of, you know, financial, you know, your financial future being held. And so I think sometimes we make it about other stuff when we're not dealing with what's really bothering us. And so, you know, I would definitely say you got to do that work. You know, I'm a big believer in therapy. I believe if you've gotten into your 30s, yes, if you got into your 30s, you haven't done any therapy, I don't
run.
Trust you.
Listen, you better run. Don't walk. Run.
I don't trust you.
If
you're in your 30s and then you haven't done any therapy, no therapy, I'm just like, mm-mm. I don't trust it. Because my thing is, everybody goes through something. So it might not have been that you had deep hurts, but everybody goes through something.
Something.
So if you're
something.
Trying to, you know, if you're trying to get to grow and to mature and to heal, then to me, when I'm trying to get to the best condition of whatever it is, I'm gonna go to a professional. So if I'm trying to get my business to the best condition, I'm gonna go to a professional. If I'm trying to get my health in order, I'm gonna go to a doctor. If I'm trying to get my emotional healing in, if I'm trying to get something mentally worked out, I'm gonna go to a therapist. To me, I don't look at it any different. It's health. It's just taking care of yourself, period. That's self-care.
You don't even know how much you are preaching a word right now to me, because that has been going to really just beginning to acknowledge the areas in which I need help and actually going to get them has been, and nobody talks about that. And I'm like, what? Like I just finished eating soup. I found a young lady who cooks my food for me. I pay her and the food, and I come in the house. Today is cold and rainy. I came in the house and heated up some soup with these meatballs and kale off the chain. But, you know, being able, I have the person who cooks for me. I meet with my virtual personal trainer. Of course, I have a virtual assistant. I have a therapist. I have somebody who cleans my house. I have a professional organizer. Like, being able to acknowledge that, damn it, I need help.
Yes.
I can't, and it's funny because at one point I felt, I don't know if I think I did maybe feel a way. I did feel like, I should be able to do all of this. You know, for me, I'm single. I don't have any children. I live in a studio apartment. I should be able to clean my own house and cook my own meals and go to work every day and build my business. I should be able to do, I don't know where the hell that came from. And then finally I was like, it's funny because today I went to a conference in October. And one of the activities they had us do was write a letter to yourself in a little postcard, and she would mail it back to you, but she didn't tell you when. Today, I got it. And one of the things on this little postcard said, girl, gonna hire you a house cleaner. You know cleaning ain't your thing. Quit bullshitting. This is what I wrote to myself. And I opened it, and I was like, OMG. I did end up hiring somebody, but it's just like, where do we get this idea that we got to be superwomen and we got to handle it all? And
yes,
damn.
Yes. I just did a post about this. I think this was last week about how I remember what I called it. I said, drop your cake, superwoman. You're not the savior. And it was this whole idea of, you know, when we keep calling ourselves superwoman and we're celebrating that, you know, you're a superwoman, you can do 20 tasks and you don't even get tired and you could do this, and, you know, and what it does is it puts you in this position to be a savior. And it's not just the savior of your own situation, but it's the savior of everybody else's situation too.
No.
And when we're doing that, we're trying to put ourselves in a position of having superhuman strength, but we really don't. We're mere mortals.
No. That's why I coach my damn self.
You know what I mean? Like,
No. Look, that's why I gotta hire everybody. This is me coaching myself. Let me, this is a skill set that I think we as Black women forget that we are really good at managing. Like that whole puppet master thing. Okay, make sure you do this and you do that. Like, we can manage this whole company.
Oh, but
for some reason, we won't create companies within our personal. Even when you talk about entrepreneurship, the average entrepreneur is a solo entrepreneur, which I just can't wrap my mind around.
Yes.
Still. I'm like, why are we not building companies that have employees and multiple people doing multiple things? Like, we do well at that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a natural. I lived on an urban homestead. Several years back. And there were two houses, maybe, I think there were three adults, maybe 10 children on the campus. So we grew food and we homeschooled and all this stuff. And the adults, it was just women adults, we did the cooking.
Yes.
And everybody would help with, you know, whatever needed to be done. That's when it dawned on me that running a household is identical to running a company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing different. And if you can do one, damn sure you can do the other. Like, I'm not, I don't have children now. My family's in Chicago. I'm in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is the same skill set.
Yes.
But I don't hear anybody talking about that piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's the thing. It's a lot of people who tell me, you know, they can't run a business. And then I'll tell them this, I don't have any experience and I can't run a business. And I'll say, what's your normal week like? They start talking about their normal week. I'm like, honey, you could have been running a business. You do way more than I do on a normal week. You know, cause I'm honest. Listen, I don't wake up. I know a lot of people say, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I wake up at 4 a.m. I'm sorry. I don't. I like sleep. I stay in my bed unless I have something that I need to do. The only time I wake up early is if I'm going to be traveling to speak, then I got to get up early so I get to the airport, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not an early morning riser. I'm not a person who's doing everything perfect. No. I'm not a person who does all my stuff for my business by myself. In fact, what I usually do is if I post something on social media and I see a whole bunch of people really going, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did this, and you can't believe you did that, I make it a point to deconstruct it. So like, if they say I did a really great glam photo shoot, I'm like, let me show you, these are the pictures with the makeup artist, and this is how I looked in the morning, and this is what she did.
The behind the scenes.
Exactly. Let's break this down, because I don't want you to ever get an image that the things that I do are just so easy and that I'm just a flawless person, because that is not the case.
Yeah.
But I do things strategically. And so it's like, you need to understand, like, I'm not Beyonce, and I didn't wake up like this. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, no, Chanel, I didn't see your Instagram. It's a little polished over there.
Hey, you got to clean it up.
It's very, I don't know. So I can see why they would say that. I'm going to just say, I'm going to leave it at that.
But it's like, you know, it's funny because, you know, I'll go to events and stuff like that, and people say, you know, like I spoke at my alma mater, and they had the theme, I didn't know till I got there, but the theme was diamond in the rough. And so they said, well, you know, Miss Calvin, you know, you've never had a diamond in the rough moment, have you? I laughed so hard. I said, well. So, you know, I started telling them, you know, about, you know, how I never thought I was going to be a speaker. And, you know, when I was younger, I actually lost my voice because we had like a lot of childhood trauma. And so I literally stopped speaking. And
my Angela.
Yeah. You know, so it was like all this stuff, you know, and then I got into a really abusive relationship. And so I literally, again, I went completely silent again. And so I had all these repeats of like silence in my voice over and over again. And so it took
This is me looking at you talking about you ain't got no story that's worth writing about.
We'll get to it. You say you're going to write it for me.
You right. You are absolutely right. I didn't say that. I need you to write the outline.
Okay, I can do that.
Thank you. And we can do, look, I got a whole new approach to writing books. So you're gonna be my first. That's how we're gonna work that out. I got a new approach. I'm getting mine written right now.
Okay.
No, for real. So, you know, I interview you, we get it transcribed, we got an editor, she edits it, you review it. Go through a couple of eyes. I got somebody to design the cover. Boom, it's done.
Oh, this is really good then.
Ma'am, I'm serious.
I'm serious too. I'm like, that is perfect.
Yeah, and all you got to do is talk. Do what you do. Listen. All you got to do is do the part that you do well. That's it.
Yeah, you know, I like to be honest with people and tell people what's going on, because I think, you know, we can put a certain image up and people think that because, you know, your makeup's looking a certain way, that means you didn't go through anything. And I'm like, nope, that's not what happened, you know. So let me tell you the things, you know. So I make a point to say, you know, I started a business because of the recession and I lost my income. And then, you know, I was struggling trying to, you know, to connect with people. And so I tell those different pieces of it. So I'm not trying to paint a picture of everything just being great and I just, you know, skyrocketed into fame or whatever people think I did. But
yeah,
you know, it's like that's not the case. So each time I'm trying to show people, this is how I did something, even if I make a connection with somebody, this is how the connection came about, so people can learn from how, you know, I made a connection. Yeah. But I think people, you know, really need to be a little bit more honest with what's going on behind the scenes, so that people can really realistically know what it's like to run a business.
Yeah.
Because people put on the show a lot and make it seem like, you know, they just woke up on the beach and made $1 million.
Lord have mercy. If only it were that easy. I woke up on the beach. I sold everything and bought a one-way ticket to Belize. Oh. I was on the beach. Wasn't $1 million, though.
Oh, man.
There was no $1 million to be had. But, you know, I vowed that I would go back. So I lived there for about 2 months. I lived out my backpack for a year, figuring this thing out. It's been 3 years. I think by year 3, I will be back on that beach. So, oh, yeah. It wasn't all like this, but yeah. Give me 12 more months. I'm pretty certain I'm going to be on that beach. Well,
that sounds so cool, though.
Girl, look, you're gonna be there with me. We're gonna be having a party on the beach. You better quit. Well, I don't want want to take up too much of your time. Plus, I want to chat with you after this. But where can the listeners go to find out more about you?
They can go to my website. My website is www.shanelle.me, which is Chanel.me. And they can find me on Facebook, which is Facebook.com/Chanel.me as well. And I'm also on, I'm on Periscope, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter. So if they look up, you know, Chanel Calvin, they'll find me on those platforms as well. But I do usually do some, a lot of Facebook Lives for the most part. And I talk about, you know, authenticity and things going on in the brand and spirituality and believing in yourself and that sort of thing.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, thank you again. Like I said, I am so super duper appreciative. You know, it's always funny because I scheduled so many of these podcast interviews so far in advance. And today, the fact that yours was today, I got that notice about from today, you talking about therapy, the Coach Your Damn Self challenges coming up. Like all of these things is like so perfect. So perfectly aligned. So I can't wait. I'm looking forward to partnering with you on quite a few things. We're going to talk.
Okay.
So for everybody who's listening, as I always say, freedom requires friends. So if you are looking for a friend who freaking has idea parties, you definitely want to make sure you check out Chanel at Chanel.me. So please hit her up and we will talk to you all later.